Have you ever tried to consider just how important and unifying our Blessed Mother is? Not only, you know, has she worked tirelessly to see that we, her son's followers, know that we can turn to him, but at the same time, you know, she had to look and continues to have the ability to call her son's followers together. I mean, take a look at first, and when we talk about today's feast, let's look at what she was able to do for the church many, many years after her time on earth. You know, it's almost, in the almost 2,000 years since the church has existed, there's only been 7 times that a pope has exercised what's called papal infallibility, and that's where he makes a ruling that the church has to follow. But just so you get the idea of how rare these types of declarations are, I mean, if we could just average them out, it's only about every 286 years that a declaration like this is made. You know, and the first 5 basically spoke out about a bunch of the early heresies in the church, things that the church needed to address right away so that we could keep our own identity and remain who we are. But in the modern era, and I kind of use that a little bit loosely, you know, the holy day that we celebrate today, there's only been 2 times in the most recent part of history, you know, that were about, and the last 2 were about the Blessed Virgin Mary. Of course, there's the Immaculate Conception, you know, that Mary was born without the stain of original sin. And then also the holy day that we celebrate today, the Assumption of our Blessed Mother into heaven. And this goes back to 1817, and it was Pope Pius IX, who's also known as the Rosary Pope, that brought this about. And, you know, a lot of people think when we start talking about papal infallibility, all the Pope has to do is say something like, next Thursday, or on Thursdays from now on, we're going to wear green. That's not the way it works. That's not how the Popes actually do things. When they exercise this very, very rare and very, very powerful form of teaching, you know, basically, when we start talking about that, you know, statements of papal infallibility and papal infallibility are not made willy-nilly, and they're not done at a drop and a half. For example, the feast we celebrate today, 3 to 5 years before the Pope actually made the declaration about the Assumption of Blessed Mary into heaven, he asked the opinion of all of the cardinals out there. Now, I don't know, have you ever tried to get a number of people to agree on anything? I mean, really, let's think about it. And this is absolutely amazing. He sent out letters to find out, you know, to make sure that he was going to be teaching something that the church held. So he gets a hold of the bishops, and of the 435 bishops at the time, 433 of them agreed and said, yes, absolutely, we do believe of the assumption, you know, about the Assumption of our Blessed Mother into heaven. It's something that had been taught for years, but it had never been formally declared by the church. You know, and when we think about it, you know, 99.5%, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And just in curiosity, I decided, what the heck, I'm going to try to find something in today's modern world where we can get something that's kind of similar. You know, and the first thing that I thought was going to, or the only thing that I could come that even found close was, you know, the notion of the Declaration of Independence here in our own country. I thought for sure, you know, they had 100% of the vote, that all 13 colonies said, yes, we're going to do this. No. They didn't. Remember, New York abstained. So even, you know, we're talking about the 99.5% of all the bishops voting on the same thing compared to only 92%, you know, from our own country. Now, and I searched this, and maybe, I'm sure there's some history majors out there, some history teachers that can come up with something better, but in non-communist countries where people actually have the freedom to choose, I challenge you to find, I couldn't find it on the internet, find a vote that was that close on anything ever in the history of the world. You know, but I mean, okay, so what does this mean for us? Well, it means that, you know, we have the example of someone who was full of love for God, a real example for us to follow. But at the same time, I think one of the most amazing things about our Blessed Mother is that I think, she, you know, that sometimes we forget just how much like us she actually was. Okay, you know, Mary was absolutely full of grace and free from original sin. You know, of course, her title is the Theotokos, the one who gave birth to God. But at the same time, I think Mary's a lot more like us than we think sometimes. And we can see that, you know, perhaps she didn't know everything. Our readings today that we hear in Mass, you know, it sounds like, you know, she was just making these conversations willy-nilly, that she didn't have a choice. But God loves each and every one of us absolutely too much. We always have the choice. While Mary wasn't weighed down by, you know, the mistakes and the things that cloud our mind sometimes that we have to work past, she was given free will. She was given the absolute ability to say no when the angels came to her, when Christ came to her. She could have. Now, she didn't. But, you know, when we look at these things, she had to learn as she went, just like us. I mean, you don't think so? Let's look at what happened when she and Joseph presented Jesus to Simeon, you know, at the temple. You know, of course, this is straight from Luke's gospel. You know, you would think that being God's mom on earth would earn Mary an easy ride through life. You know, yeah, you're God's mom. Your ticket's punched. It's going to be easy. Any of us who know our faith know that's really not the case, you know, and it was Simeon who told her at that point that her heart would be pierced by many pains as she followed her son, you know, and that being a follower of her son wasn't going to be easy. You know, in other words, even though she was God's mom, she was not going to get a get out of all of the pains of human life free card. You know, she experienced life much the same way that we did. She had to deal with all of those difficulties. And today, you know, what we celebrate, you know, that like Mary, who was one of us, I think who was more like one of us than we may think, who didn't have total knowledge of what it meant to be a follower of her son. But I think more importantly, it shows us that 100% human beings of all types like her, you know, that we who are like her can make it to heaven. I think the reason that she was assumed bodily and soul into heaven was to show us, you know, we 100% human being types, that regardless of how difficult life can be, you know, we can, like her, if we trust and rely on the grace of her son, that we can get to heaven as well. And Mary shows us that it's not easy, but very, very possible for each and every one of us. We can do it with her prayers and with the gifts of her son. Brothers and sisters, let's celebrate the fact that we have such a wonderful teacher and a wonderful example to celebrate, you know, as Catholics, and that we can acknowledge that. And let's follow Mom and do what she did.